Nice. We're staying. Can't get rid of us.
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Escape Breakers, welcome back to Escape Break. I am your host, Ezekiel Kajakai. And if you listened to last episode, I kicked my co-host off the show. So today, I'm inviting them back. It's my puzzle bestie for the resty, Beth Dybel. Hey, Beth.
Hello, I'm back.
And my escape friend to the end, Tatiana Abaro. Hey, Tati.
Hello.
Guys, hopefully you listened to the entire 5 minutes of the episode, but it was an April Fool's joke. In all sincerity, do you guys want to come back to the show?
I'll have my manager get to your manager in 3 to 5 business days.
The rift has fallen.
I'll give you a second chance, Kai.
Thank you. It was all in good fun. We do have a group text. I told them several weeks before, I can't tell you why, but I just need you to trust me. And they both gave me the thumbs up. That's what I was referring to. It was a joke the entire time, and I'm glad to have you back. As you can see, I can't do it on my own unless I have to talk to myself in different pitch tones of my voice, which I admit was fun, but I can't do that for multiple episodes.
It was entertaining.
Thanks. That was a lot of voice acting you did there.
I did it in a one-take Jake, other than overlapping some of the audio, so it seemed like I was talking at the same time.
Very nice.
That's impressive.
Thank you. But we're back to the regular show, guys. This is Escape Break, Southern California's favorite escape room podcast. We're on the Cager Express Podcast Network, and you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook at the Cager Express. Today, we're going to talk about a few things. A brief talk about The Ladder, the newest escape room at Hatch Escapes. No spoilers here. And then we're going to get into how to grade rooms, the different ways people evaluate across the board, because we're going to be doing some small room reviews on our social media in the future. But first, as always, let's talk about how things are going in the escape room world. Tati, I know you played some escape rooms recently. What'd you check out?
Mm-hmm. I went to Omescape in San Jose, which is their original location.
Okay.
And I played 3 rooms there, the Kingdom of Cats, Sorcerer's Sanctum, and Dark Altar. Nice. So Beth is a cat lover. She has a cat.
Beth is a cat.
I can't believe you would have just spit that secret out, but I mean,
I know, Kai. Damn, you just outed her.
Sorry.
It's literally like, by the way, she's a cat.
So they do have Kingdom of Cats, and that was their first location. And then they took it and made a sequel at their Sunnyvale location. And I would say that everything at their second location is just like on steroids from what they did in the first place. So I finally played all the rooms at San Jose. I would say my favorite room there is the Sorcerer's Sanctum.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yay for cat rooms on steroids.
Yes. Tati continues to make Beth and I jealous about all the great rooms she has up there in NorCal. We'll have to make a trip because I lost a teammate in Tati to that, but that means me and Beth, maybe we can work something out and draft a team to head up there and play Kingdom of Cats and all the rest.
Gosh, a road trip.
Yes. I'll bring catnip for you.
That works.
And
I'll
Beth,
be chilling the whole ride.
Beth, we played a game. We played Starship.
Yeah.
At Wild Goose, which was great. Coming from a space hater, we enjoyed it. You can check out my review on Morty. Beth, what do you have lined up for the month?
Lined up, I have Inksidious.
Inksidious?
Ink Skidius.
Ink Skidius. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the name of the room, and that is at Escape Room 99, I believe.
66.
66. Let me flip those numbers upside down. Anyways, I'll get it right at some point. I'll get it right after I play the game. But I'm going to be playing that game later this month. And I'm really excited because I played at their Irvine location and I found out that it's like a mother-daughter owner situation. So mother owns Irvine and daughter owns the LA location. And she was just so, I don't know, she sounded so proud of her daughter. And she's like, my daughter is great with the storytelling and the building and all of that. So I am very, very excited to see that one.
That's really awesome. I know they just came out with The Mushroom as well. And Far, Far Away, I haven't played either of them, but people seem to enjoy them. So
yeah,
hopefully you have a good time. I am traveling outside of SoCal at the end of this month to Houston to play Strange Bird.
That's going to be an exciting one.
Yes.
That's going to be so fun.
It's supposed to be immersive, right?
It's supposed to be immersive. It's called The Man from Beyond, I believe. And I believe it's about Houdini or something like that. And to all you award lovers delight, it is a Topeka Top Room. So I'll let you know how I like it. But I'm going out there with my girlfriend and my longtime friend. You can check her out on the original show of this podcast. Her name's Danny Renee. But we're great friends. She lives all the way out in Oklahoma. She's meeting me in Houston. We're going to play an escape room together.
I have a question, Kai.
Exciting. Yeah.
Does it count as an escape room or is it an immersive?
I will be the judge of that. But in terms of what I believe I'm getting into, it's an escape room.
Okay.
I do support that idea, that feeling, because they were a... they were a main stage speaker at Recon a couple years ago. So they're at an escape convention. My assumption is hopefully escape room for Kai's sake.
I know I've been harsh on the Nest and I will forever be harsh on the Nest, but we also had Ministry of Peculiarities on the show. I believe it's going to be somewhere more so in the ministry type game. So I'll find out. And of course, no spoilers, but I'm hopefully you're going to be like, yeah, guys, you got to go play it.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into talking about grading rooms, rating rooms, and how people tend to do it and how I tend to do it, we want to talk about the Ladder. And the Ladder is the newest room at Hatch Escapes. Their hit room, Lab Rat, was a hit all across for the most part. I don't think I've ran into too many people that didn't like Lab Rat. But their long-awaited game, The Ladder, has taken about 5 years to make. And it is finally out. And while we won't talk about it much today, because we haven't experienced it, I just wanted to know what your expectations are. Here are some ground-level facts. Took about 5 years to make. Allegedly going to be the first truly replayable room. And I know people have said that before, but supposedly the first, and it comes in at a healthy $95 per person. So, Tati, just general thoughts. Excited to play, worried, concerned. What are your thoughts?
I'm excited. I've been excited. We have been talking about how this game has been in the works for, oh my gosh, since the beginning, before Escape Break, actually. Which is funny enough to think about, but now that it's finally out, it has so many high expectations coming from me. I think that one, they already did a really good job with Lab Rat. It's still one of my top 10. So I figured that these people took the time, they learned from Lab Rat and other experiences, and they created this monster escape room. So yes, I'm very excited to play. And if it's as amazing as I think it'll be, I don't mind paying the price point, but it is steep, right? Like, we're not going to go play four other rooms that day, probably. It's going to be the Ladder.
Right. Beth, what are your thoughts?
I'm incredibly excited. I have been waiting for this game for so long. I remember when they first announced it and they had the, it's not a GoFundMe, but it's similar to that.
Kickstarter.
They had that going. And, you know, I looked into it. I was really curious. And it has just been on my mind consistently for 5 years now. And I'm just so excited for it to be like, boop, out of my brain. And I can finally play it, experience it, and see if it's reaching my expectations, which, based on Lab Rats, I'm assuming that it will exceed my expectations. But like Tati said, there, with it taking 5 years, you do expect above and beyond.
Yeah. I'm with you all and sharing the excitement. I come with a lot of worry, and my worry is more so for the general public. For someone to pay that much for that type of game, I just don't know. I don't know how the early returns are going right now in the month. Frankly, I'm just kind of chilling here, waiting for the price to drop and maybe play it later. Of course, it's several hours away from us, or me specifically, so I'm in no rush to get there. But just from a accessibility perspective, I don't know how eager someone who's only played five escape rooms or maybe wants to get started in escape room feels about 95 per person. And in the big picture, for a room to last, people have to play it, and people want to play it with no hesitation. So we'll see how it goes. Of course, if it lives up to expectation, 95 is nothing. Let's play. Maybe let's play it twice, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Of course, Lab Rat's one of my top rooms in the past. Beth giving me
I agree.
Hand signals.
Yeah, you said maybe play it twice, and I was throwing up the hang on, buddy, the money thing. Hang on.
Yeah. You know, it's about the money's worth, and we'll get into that really in some of the ways I look at rooms. But if I'm paying top dollar, I want to get my hour and a half's worth, maybe as a point collecting system. I would just hate for someone to get in there and either get out early or spend so much time and not complete the story enough to feel satisfied and be like, I paid 95 to get one third of the way through. Do I really want to do this again? You know?
Yeah. I'm just wondering if the enthusiast community is large enough to help them like maintain sales.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a big chunk of it. And then I don't know that they have so many options in LA that are $35 to $40 for an hour. So there's a lot to choose from. And some people are going to choose based on price point.
To your point, Kai, it seemed like they really built this room for enthusiasts. Your average escape room player plays what, less than 10 rooms?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's about money and it's about the experience, I don't know if that's worth it for them. But for us that freaking love escape rooms, like, yeah, that's what we want to do. And we're going to pay it if it's worth it.
We'll certainly talk about it in the future. We just got to all get together and hopefully I get to play it with both of you at the same time or separate times. It'll happen. But let's get into the topic of today's episode, which is rating rooms. People love giving their opinions. Both Tati and Beth can tell you very much that I deny almost every suggestion to do some sort of room review on this show. I just don't like it. I feel everyone's opinion doesn't matter, including my own. But I do want to talk about it. So people rate rooms. I just want to talk about some of the standard ways, and then we'll get into the Kai way, which is a very interesting system that I want to explain to you guys. So traditionally, people would rate rooms on Google, Yelp, and it's out of 5 stars. Tati, how do you feel about a 5-star system and how it's generally used in the consumer world?
Well, just to start off with, I don't do ratings for rooms. In my spreadsheet, it's just, did I pass? Did I not pass? And then if there was anything of note to remember, I'll write it down. Like when we played Top Tier, we were their first escape. So that's a note that I have for the Atlantis room there, right? I think that's monumental. So I have stuff like that. For me, I take ratings with a grain of salt. I also feel that way with food. I think anyone can think one way and I could feel like the exact opposite, mm-hmm. right? It's all based on your preference, your taste buds, whatever. So I think ratings are what it is. 5 stars, if it's like thousands of reviews, that's probably a good thing. That's a good sign. I'll look into it. If it's 1 star and it's like 1 review, I'm also, that's probably not, maybe it's just an angry person. I don't know. We don't know. So I don't know. Ratings are what it is. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay. Beth, in terms of 1 star or 5 star systems, how do you feel about them? Do you leave reviews on Google and Yelp? And is that important to you?
I'm in the same boat as Tati, where I know it's just so subjective. And so I do look at the average rating first. And if it's like above 4 stars, then I look into it. And usually I'm more interested in seeing what is being said rather than just the number of stars, because mm-hmm. I'll look at a few 1 stars, a few 3 stars, a few 5 stars, and I look at the reasoning why they've given that review. And I'll kind of just weigh that out myself and figure if it's worth it for me. But again, it's super subjective. And I do leave reviews here and there, mostly on Morty now. But back then, I used to be a Yelp elite fully by accident because I just left so many reviews at escape rooms. Because back then, I was like, oh, the reviews, it helps businesses. You know, it, yay, like promotion. And then they were like, you're Yelp elite now. And I didn't want it. But I would only leave 5-star reviews. I didn't like leaving anything below that. And if I just didn't like it, then I didn't say anything. Like I would let them know afterwards, like, hey, I didn't have a good experience, but I wouldn't blast them on social media for that.
Right, right. Now you mentioned Morty reviews, which is essentially Yelp for escape rooms, came way after Yelp. But Morty's scale is 3. So, and it's not 3 stars, it's thumbs down, thumbs up, and heart. How do you feel about that, Beth? As I think you use Morty more now than Yelp, as do I. How do you feel about that type of scale?
I'm a big fan of that one because I don't do number scales at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like every time somebody's like, what would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? I'd be like, 8. But I feel like I say 8 every time because I panic and I go, it's definitely an 8, I would assume. So I don't do numbered scaling at all. I really prefer the yes, I liked it, or no, I didn't like it, or I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. I can understand reviewing that way for myself because that's how I normally would do it. I would be like, yeah, I like that room, or no, I didn't like it, when I tell other people about it, when I'm speaking about it, you know, word of mouth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tati, does it affect your choosing of rooms when looking at Morty if you see that heat circle and there's a bit of blue and yellow in it, or a lot of blue and yellow in it? Does that affect what you're choosing, especially on these trips we plan?
Yes and no. If there's a room that we are looking forward to and majority of people say that it's just like a like, I'm not going to let that deter me. Again, with the number of votes that are there, right? Like the circle could be primarily blue, but it could be like 3 votes.
Yeah.
So it could be a little bit misleading. I also think that Morty's for escape rooms, it's a little bit more credible because you have more enthusiasts. It's just escape room focused. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe not your average escape room player. I think it's a little bit of a leg up. So the ratings and the likes are a little bit more credible. I would think so.
I would hope.
I would hope so, but I can't determine that.
I'd be interested to find that out because I'm not sure. I would like what you're saying to be true, but I'm not sure. I see a lot of reviews, and I also don't know how people interpret the thumbs up, because Some people, like myself, thumbs up means I liked it, it was good, go play it. So does heart. Heart just has to do with like the overall experience. Maybe something special happened and it was just like a grand old time. But I saw a review recently of Trials of Merlin at Trapped, and it was given a thumbs up. And the review, because text can come with these emotes, said, "It's nothing special that you'd never seen before." And I was like, wow, that is the most crass thumbs up I've ever seen. And
that's like a backhanded thumbs up.
They were almost treating the thumbs up like average or mediocre, where to me, thumbs up means good. It's worth playing.
Well, I think average would still be thumbs up though, right? Because if it's average, it's cool. It's thumbs up. It's good.
Yeah. But it passed.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Are you saying, do you think there should be like a meh?
Like a sideways thumb?
I think there should be a meh because, and I've talked to Andy from Morty about the meh, and he's against it. He doesn't want it to become that detailed. It's more just how you felt and take it with a grain of salt, which is nice too. But yeah, I feel like there needs to be some sort of a, you know, a calibration meeting about how things are rated. Otherwise, it's useless data for the most part. But at the same time, we all follow people that we trust more than others. So do you have any people in particular besides ourselves that you believe their reviews a little bit more than others?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, are we name dropping?
I mean, you can name drop. If
you want. Okay, I'll name drop.
We're naming the good people right now.
Yeah, I trust Christine's reviews. Christine and Jeremiah's. They have done so many things and they have seen so much that I'm like, yeah, I trust your review.
Okay. Talk to
I'm
you.
Like, cool.
Who do you trust?
I don't know.
Trust nobody. No one.
Honestly, yeah, I'm really bad at trusting people.
Oh, I have another one.
Go for it.
Ron, but his also helped me understand to like what to stay away from.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Like Christine shows me like the cool things that I should go check out, whereas like Ron shows me the things that I should like avoid.
Stay away from.
Yeah. That's I'm like, oh, I'll get her there. Got it.
I like Ron's reviews.
Dude, he's hilarious. Funny. He's ridiculous. I think as far as trusting, I think I take everything with a grain of salt.
Dang.
If I want to play the game, I'll play it. If someone craps on it, maybe they just had a really bad experience. I was at a meetup recently in NorCal. Ghost Patrol is one of my favorite rooms. And someone said they didn't like it. And the reason why they didn't like it was because of the people they played it with. They had a very bad experience, right?
Mm-hmm. That's on them.
Exactly. But if I wouldn't have talked to them about it, how would I have known? All I would have seen was a thumbs down on Morty for it. So I feel like that's why it's all subjective. Mm-hmm. If I want to play it, I'm going to play it. And then if it's a bad room, that's on me, right? I didn't take anybody's review into consideration and then I have no one to blame but me. So, and I think it tends to go with my personality. I'm a very just like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to just do it.
Yeah.
And now.
Kai, to preface, you said not including us. I trust y'all. So.
Yeah, literally. Going to you guys every time.
Yeah.
Tapping in the group chat, like, is this good?
And now for a commercial break. Do you struggle getting close to people? Did somebody hurt you? Do you have trust issues? Well, we feel your pain. Join us next time at Escape Break for three people you can trust. Tati, Beth, and Kai. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming. I know it's hard. It really is hard. I am very selective with who I trust, and I agree the group matters. So everything with a grain of salt, which brings me to my scale. So I want to talk to you guys about my scale, and you're free to ask me any questions. If you're listening about the scale, you don't have to use it, but when we start posting little reviews about it, we are going to be using it, so I want people to understand. And there are some rules to this scale. And so I'm going to read them to you. I'm still thinking of a name, but right now it's called the Escape Break Barometer. You like that? A little alliteration?
Ebb.
The ebb. The teb. Ebb. The teb.
Oh, I forgot the T.
Yeah, but it could be ebb.
Teb. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this TED Talk where Kai will be speaking of ebb.
So what is ebb? I bet you want to know. Just kidding. Okay. So some of the key things about my scale is basically this concept that any game ever created can be enjoyed. Any game can be enjoyed. And so the ranking that happens in this is subjective. It's just like accepted that it's subjective. And it's based upon a couple of things too. The group you're with and how you're treated in tandem with the normal things like the puzzles, the size, the sets, the immersion, all that stuff. So that's the biggest thing. So a room that I could rank at the top of my scale could be in the middle of Tati's scale, could, heaven forbid, be at the bottom of Tati's scale based upon her experience, because I think that matters so much, right? I think, I forgot who said it. I'm sorry for the short memory, but one of you just said that you had an experience and the room was bad, or the group was bad, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So it's that type of thing. Like you could play a mind trap room, which is almost universally accepted, with a horrible group and come out of that thinking that mind trap is bad. Is that true? Probably not. It was probably your group. So keep that in mind. The second rule is that there's essentially two groups. Groups of good, which are rooms I would recommend. Like, hey, yeah, go play that. And groups of bad, which is rooms I would not recommend. So when people come to us for recommendations, I try to keep it light. If it's in my top group, it's like, yeah, go play that. I think you'll enjoy it. If it's in the bottom group, pass. I think there are other rooms that are similar. So the bottom group are the alphabet letters, starting from the very bottom, F for failure, D for disgraceful, and C for, I don't know, for just C.
Casual.
For casual, for common. Actually, common. I would say common.
There we go.
Yeah.
Common.
So the F category is rarely given out by me. For the F category to exist, the room has to be a combination of low effort, low immersion, just like poor customer service, and probably even a horrible group, like poor management, even poor pricing. So like think of a room you could put together in maybe a couple days as a pop-up that stands as a room you could book any time of the year, which is the worst customer service, the worst experience you've ever had. Those are the rare and few F's. Now, we all have F experiences in our mind. I'm not gonna label any rooms as an F. I've only given out probably a handful of F's on my list of 320 and counting, but that's the bottom of the barrel. Won't recommend it. And something bad happened in our experience and I was like, man, that's just like poor business. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have F's in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking of one right now.
For the morale of listeners and the honor system of Escape Break, we will not be advertising any F's. It's just promoting bad. It's not good for the world.
Agreed.
All right. Next category is D. It's one step above the F. Again, I wouldn't recommend it. I would say that it is largely unoriginal and it could benefit from like bringing it up to speed. Maybe things went okay in the room, so like you weren't treated badly, but it's just something that's very forgettable. Maybe went too quick as well. That is the D. Freaking Tati. Tati, how do you feel about the D?
A bad function.
Looks like it left her speechless.
I heard that a moment ago, what caught my attention was that you said that D is, the D is largely unoriginal.
Yes.
I thought that was just a fun little bit.
It is.
I wanted to point out again.
It is a fun little bit. I would say there's not much difference between the F and the D.
Mm-hmm. Like only a couple inches or?
Yes. Yes. And even in the quality of rooms as well.
I'm so immature. I cannot even right now.
Keep in mind, okay. I'm the oldest of this podcast group. Tati is the second oldest. Beth is the youngest. But Tati is the youngest today.
Okay. Also in our group chats. Jesus.
Okay. Moving on. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was going to answer your question.
Oh,
but
sure,
yeah,
sure.
I think, about the D.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like what separates F and D is the customer service experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think if the way they treat you, or like if you gave some feedback to try and be a little bit helpful and they just kind of like shut it, then that turns into an F, right?
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's the difference.
Yeah. I would say like, think about if you were to beta test a room and it was honestly really bad, but at the same time, the ownership was like open to feedback, really wants to improve. That would be something that gets that grade of D. So it's nothing against the customer service, as Tati is alluding to. So that brings us to the last of the group of bad, which is C. Now, C is really on the fence. C is borderline good, in my opinion. And it's going to be very similar to the next category up, which is B. But what I kind of use as reference to whether it's going to be at the fringe of bad or the fringe of good is there another room very similar to it that just outshines it, right? Like, is there another pirate room that is reminiscent of this that just did it a little bit better? And if someone were to say, hey, Kai, what's a pirate room I should do? And I have these two in mind, I would choose the other one. The one I didn't recommend is going to be the C. It's like, it's passable. I wouldn't recommend it. Probably lacking a little originality, to be comical, exquisitely mediocre is really what this is.
Yeah. You won't outwardly recommend it, but if somebody came to you and asked your opinion of it, you would say it's fine.
Yeah. Or
you'll have a good time.
Or if it were on a Black Friday sale, or you got to play it as part of like back-to-back rooms for a discount. But yeah, throw that one in there. You know, it's worth putting in. But if you're just going out and traveling to play this room alone, I wouldn't recommend it. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. So that's that bottom category. Levels of bad is really what I call it. Would not recommend. Which brings us into the top category, which is rooms I would recommend. And I'm going to actually give you some rooms that I would recommend. And if you guys are able to kind of associate with this, I would love to hear some of just quick recommendations of yours. So B is the lowest level of good, if that makes sense. Solid rooms, worth playing, and will largely wow somebody who's never played escape rooms or played a few. Like, if you're early in your career and you play a B level room, you can be like, yeah, I'm hooked. Let's do this. But to people like us, it'll feel routine. But it'll still be fun. It'll be satisfactory and it will scratch that escape room itch. So that is really the B category. I would recommend it. And to beginners, they're going to be like, this is awesome. Okay. So I'm looking at my list right now. The Laboratory at, what is it called? What is it called?
The Laboratory? Oh, no, yeah. Brain Games now.
Yes.
Brain Games.
The Laboratory.
No, but the Laboratory.
The Laboratory at Brain Games. I put it as a B, meaning I would recommend it, meaning it was awesome. It satisfied me in terms of doing an escape room, tons of puzzles, multilinear, great things to do, had a great team when I did it. And if a first-time escape room person were to do the Laboratory, they would have been blown out of their mind.
They would have been so overwhelmed.
And perhaps overwhelmed. However, if we're comparing it to everything else out there, it doesn't necessarily get up there, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys have any in your mind that you would kind of put in that category? Again, this is a good thing to be in the B category or any of these categories we're talking about now?
This is a random one because I haven't played it in years, but Turing test. 60 out.
Okay.
I remember at the time I was like, this is incredible. This is amazing because it was just like super techy, and I played it when they first opened it. So I don't know if it's still standing physically. I don't know. But I would say, looking back on it now, I would put that in a B category because I've played plenty of other games that have had stronger storylines, stronger sets. They've had better customer service. And yeah, definitely that would be a B category for me. Awesome. Based on the Chi scale, ebb.
Yeah, the ebb.
On the ebb.
The ebb.
Or teb. We're still developing.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the works. Yeah.
Tati, what do you think?
For B, I would say, just because of recency bias, some of the rooms that I played this weekend, but also for something to relate to you guys, I was just looking at my recent list, and I would go with Oracle.
Unlockables. Okay.
I think that's a solid room. If it's someone that's new, the scare factor is still fun. There's a lot of escape room elements in there. So that's what something I would categorize as a B.
Nice. I believe I have that. Okay. So that brings us to the next category, which is A. A is incredible. Like, most of all mine trap rooms are either A and above.
Oh, yeah, literally.
Right? It's just something that you categorize as a must play. Incredible puzzles, set, usually multiple rooms, or something to make you feel like it's worth being in a singular room, and generally will be a one-of-a-kind experience. So you're coming out with memories, you're coming out completely satisfied, and perhaps it's missing something, but overall you're just like, yeah, like this is why we do escape rooms, this is why I have 300, and this is why I have no regard for my bank account when it comes to escape rooms.
Sounds about right.
So for A, my most recent A room was actually Starship. Gotta give some credit to Space.
Yeah, I would say that was an A room.
Okay, and before that it was Something Out There, which I played with Tati. It was memorable. Again, remember, these have to do with who I was with. So the experience I had with Kirby and Beth and Starship, being captains of this ship, fighting enemies, jokingly yelling at them during moments of chaos, that was memorable. The memories I had with Tati, having her being scared, trying to push me out into the pitch black darkness of Something's Out There. Super memorable, felt like a movie. It's a must play experience. That is an A.
You can always count on me for that.
Okay. So, and to be perfectly honest with you guys, if you are my team, there is a good chance we're heading into that A category, as long as the room can like hold up, because my worries of the group letting me down are minimal when it's with you guys.
Oh,
wow.
So sweet.
I'm going to cry a little.
All right. Enough of that. Give me some A's, guys. Give me some A's.
I would agree with you on Something's Out There.
Okay.
So recently. And then for me, I'd also add in, I thought Missing Season was great.
Nice. I also think that game is great.
Is there another? Are we heading to another category?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, each category has three. So there's three levels of bad. There are three levels of good. This is that second level of good. We're about to head to the top level of good.
Okay.
Also known as great. But...
and awesome and fantastic and amazing.
All right. Do you want me to explain the S before we get into kind of understanding like where your rooms are at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me hear about S.
Okay. So S is superior. When you play an S room, it just hits on every level. Cream of the crop, excellent customer service combined with a movie-like experience where you're like, wow, what just happened? I want to tell my friends. I want to play it again. There were epic puzzles. Perhaps there's an actor. Doesn't have to have an actor. perhaps you split up from your group so much that you just want to like share what you did and do that classic escape room thing where you're like, well, what did you do? Well, what did you do? Oh, how did that happen? And you really just want to like debrief this synergistic team experience. That is the S. S for me, I give out a decent amount of S's, but an S for me is lab rat. But to give you perspective, S doesn't have to be just about showmanship and tech and all that, because I also put confinement to the box as an S, which is up in NorCal, which some people might say, oh, that's a low tech room. There's just a lot of locks and keys, but it was like being in a movie, right? We came down to the wire. There was a challenge that the game master said, most people don't get through the whole room, especially the bonus. And we did it with like seconds to go. There was a wow moment where something happened that I can't tell you, but we were like, what the heck? And It was just all this culminating together, the stars aligning. That's really what the S is. Sal's Cybernetics is an S. The Evil Genius games, most of them are S's. Lampkin Lane was an S for me. Those types of things.
Yeah, I agree with all those. Just recently, for me, Robotopia is an S.
Okay.
And Hope End is an S.
Oh, yeah, definitely Hope End.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think The Last Supper is an S for me.
Last Supper, absolutely. Mm-hmm. To give Brain Game some shine, Treasure Island was an S.
Oh, yeah.
I need to play that one.
Edison at Palace Games was an S for me. A lot of the Cutthroat Cavern was an S, of course.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of different S's here. But to give you some data on like how this can be relative to anybody, there's a room called Lair of the Puzzle Master. Have you played it?
Yes.
Yeah. At Trapped?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I have
years
this.
Years ago.
I have this. I have to find on my list, but I believe I have it as an A. I loved the game. At the time that I played it, it was my birthday. I brought my girlfriend at the time, who's no longer with us. She's alive, but just no longer with us.
Damn, and, you killed her off.
And two of my friends who hadn't played escape rooms that much. They were the people that could hang out with me on my birthday. So Rich and Roland hooked it up. Got to play a bunch of rooms back to back on my birthday. Lair the Puzzle Master came down to the last second. The gas was filling the room. And we guessed on the final puzzle. And we guessed right. And we escaped. And I just loved it. I was like, this was an amazing experience for the time that I played it. A lot of people play that game and say, oh, it's very traditional. Even Trapped might say it's very traditional. It's one of their first rooms. But to me, it was a stellar experience. I have it up there in kind of that top tier category.
So I again, played the original version of that.
Which I've heard bad things.
It was great for the time. It was 2015.
Right.
But yeah, no, definitely needed some help. And they did that. So
yeah.
Yeah. I definitely played, I think I played the second version, like the when they were like, yeah, we redid it. Because I even when I went to go in, I was like, oh, I heard you guys redid the room. Is it like totally different from the first time? I didn't get to play it. And they were like, yeah, it's totally different. And it seemed like they were trying to emphasize like it's better now. And I had a great time in it. I for the time, it was like definitely very early on. And I probably would have given it an A as well. I loved the puzzles in that game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's one other element, too, is when you play it in your career, for instance, Unlockables, The Escape. Right. It's a room with a split start. At the time, I had never really experienced something like that. And in my memory, it was scary. It was one of a kind. And I was like, wow, this is a great room. And then I went back and took my cousins like years later to play it. And I just was in the room to observe. And that second time, I was like, huh, it's not what I remembered. But it's the perspective thing, right? I'm a firm believer you can't play room twice and the experience will be the same. So to each their own with this scale. And just because I put something somewhere in the list doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. That's the biggest takeaway from this. We just want to give you a range, a general range. But what comes into that is, why do you like rooms? So to end the episode, I want to ask both of you, what kind of DNA do you like in a room? Like, if you were to put a recipe for a room together, and the probability that this is going to be a great room is high, what would you expect in that room? Is it multiple rooms? Is it 60 minutes? Is it more than 60 minutes? Is it an actor? Is it music? Is it a hidden door? So, you know, those types of things. What are the ingredients generally in a successful room for you?
Are we going on an S? Like, what our S standard is?
Yeah, S and A. S and A.
S and A.
Yeah.
So for me, my biggest thing is being immersed. If you can make me forget that I'm in the warehouse or the office building that I entered in, that is super awesome. So for me, that's one. I love it when it's more than 60 minutes. If it was my whole day, that's ideal. But yeah, let's be real. I know. So for me, the length of time, the people that I'm with is super important. I want to make sure that I'm enjoying myself in this experience. And that also kind of goes to the feeling of immersion. Mm-hmm. If you're with the right people, you can feel that way, you know, that kind of groove along to the music or play the characters, but also know how to solve the puzzles when needed to, when it comes down to it. And then finally, for me, I think seeing things that I haven't seen before, or taking something that I have seen and making it new and innovative, is extra props just because of how many games we've played. It's difficult to do that. And it's also very exciting for me. So those would be some of my top things.
I like it. I like it. Beth, what about you?
Some things, definitely the group. Got to make sure you have a good group. Always a bad group will just ruin the time you have in there.
Yeah.
I do prefer longer games, especially I love doing puzzles. So if it's a really long game with tons of puzzles for me to solve during that time, and different kinds of puzzles, you know, not like time waster puzzles where they like hand you a box to open and you try and figure that out. I hate that. But if you give me good puzzles where I'm like, I'm such a smarty pants that I feel good about solving, that stump me at times, but make me feel like, I don't know, I achieved it. Yay. So good puzzles. And there was another thing. Oh, I want to feel like a character in a story. You are building a world around me. Include me in the world other than like the tasks that you're giving me. Like, who are we? Because, you know, like sometimes they will give you your persona at the beginning and then you kind of just forget about who you are and what you're doing and what you're supposed to be when you're in the game. I like when they push that you are a character in their escape room throughout the game, and they keep it pretty, not consistent, but I don't know. I don't know the right word for this.
They keep the story
alive.
They keep the story alive throughout the whole entire thing.
Yeah. Because I feel like you get the intro and then the story is lost after that oftentimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I want consistent story, the puzzles that fit with that story. I want that as my A and my S.
Nice. Nice. For me, I think multiple rooms really helps. Combination of getting your time's worth helps. And this moment of crescendo, it's hard to explain, but you have to feel like there's some sort of urgency happening in the room and you're under the pressure to do it. Obviously, the achievement of that is what finishes this off. But I think without that excitement, you get to this end of the room and you say, oh man, we're done. Instead of like, hey guys, when we do this, that's the end of the game and you're excited, right? It's this accidental end to the game. You're like, oh man, there's the exit.
Or oh, that's it? Oh,
right, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're done? Okay.
Actors help if done well, but just the presence of a character. And while this isn't solely about Scott in Sal's Cybernetics, I think Sal's Cybernetics is close to a perfect game. just because you meet a character, they care about you from the lobby, they set the tone from the lobby, and you can dress up, there's music, there's hidden stuff, there's fun achievements where you're all together, there's laughing, there's just a whole bunch of things in that room that start hitting this euphoric feeling, and that creates a perfect game. Mm-hmm. So those are the types of things we want to see. And the more of that, I think the less we'll worry about, well, how much is it? It's more just like, I want to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that a room is an A or an S when I walk out feeling like I'm high on life.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I kind of walk out like, all right, probably a B or less.
Yeah. So like the way you kind of use this scale is to you, right? Beth said feeling high on life. How it's more of a feeling than a calculated grade. So hopefully when we start posting a little bit about just our general reviews of rooms, I'm looking forward to the diversity in our grades. And of course, as the little kid in me, I'm looking forward to when Tati ranks it an A and Beth and I rank it an S.
We're not going to say that out loud because we have been very good this episode.
Yes.
All right, guys, that's it for today. But we'll see you next time on Escape Break with Tati and Beth.
We're staying.
All right. Did you want to add anything?
Nice. We're staying. We're staying. Can't get rid of us.
Hey, Kai, guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course. There's so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next Escape Break.